The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
7 a.m. Cold outside, coming to work Wednesday morning, October the 13th, 2021. A chill in the air, 710 KNUS Weather Center. Weather on a Wednesday, sunny 62. Tomorrow, rain, snow develops, 30 degrees tomorrow night. And may see some snow on Friday morning, snowing in the high country, Saturday, sunny and mild. George Anthosopoulos coming up, Glenn Beaton's coming up. This is the first time he's been on the show. Gino Campan is with us. He is one of the next challengers to challenge Michael Bennett. Hey, Gino, man, thanks for doing the radio show. Good morning, and welcome back to Denver. I think you're in Fort Collins, are you not?
I am, Peter. Good morning, and thank you for having me on your show.
It's my pleasure. I read your bio, and the story about your dad is really remarkable. Tell the audience why you live in the United States of America. The story about your dad is just an amazing story, if you would please.
Of course, thank you for the opportunity to do that, Peter, because I think it's an amazing story as well. First of all, I want everyone to know that I'm not a politician. I'm a businessman, entrepreneur. I'm a father. I'm a husband. I'm a coach. But as you said, I'm running for the U.S. Senate to fight for our American dream and specifically stop Senator Michael Bennett and Joe Biden from destroying our country. And this is personal to me. Because the American dream is why I'm able to be on this call with you and on your radio show this morning. And it really is I'll give you the condensed version, Peter, and that is you've got extreme compassion meeting extreme poverty. In 1942, the U.S. military occupied Naples, Italy, where my father was a young man, 7 years old. And the country had been devastated, shelled nightly. My father tells stories of putting a mattress over his head and going into an old mine, which is essentially a cave, every night to prevent from being shelled. But this American soldier saw that these children, he and his younger sister, couldn't find food to eat and were living in this extreme poverty conditions. And he grew fond of them, and he'd bring them food nightly. And he would talk to my father, as a seven-year-old, and explain to him what America was all about, like why he, as a soldier, would travel across the waters to Naples, Italy, to fight for what the American dream was all about. Well, of course, my father, as a seven-year-old, was inspired, said, someday I would like to do that, sir. And he called him Sergeant. His name, he was a sergeant, so he still today calls him old Sergeant, as a matter of fact. And, that American soldier came back 7 years later and sponsored my father and his baby sister to come to the United States legally. He was 14. He turned 15 on Ellis Island as he came across. And my father didn't come here because of the notion that Michael Bennett and Joe Biden and others believe in this cradle-to-grave welfare system. What he came here for was cradle-to-grave opportunities. And my father grabbed those opportunities on a daily basis. And I watched him turn sweat into profit. And I learned from him. So I called that the journey to the American dream. And that allowed me to live the American dream. I went to Colorado State University. I got a degree in environmental engineering. And I started my own business in 1992. And I've been able to live this dream, and I continue to live it today. But for the first time, I have four children. And my generation, for the first time, is looking out the next generation saying, the American dream is under attack. Joe Biden, Michael Bennett are taking the American dream and they're turning it into a socialist nightmare. And I'm obligated, as the son of an immigrant who's lived the American dream, I'm obligated to protect the American dream for the next generation. And that's my motivation here. I want to go to D.C. and I want to remind them every single day what the American dream is all about.
Our guest is Gino Campana, one of the potential challengers for Michael Bennett's seat. There are some real tough questions in what is going to happen next. How do you see this running out? I mean, there's a couple of really good guys, and name recognition seems to be, you know, until I saw your name, I didn't know your name, and that's nothing on you. But, and it's money, and it's all these different things. What do you do next?
We do exactly what we're doing. We're in this 1 week now. I've been overwhelmed with support. I'm out telling the story. We're talking about the American Dream. I'm telling the story that you were inspired by. And I'm also pointing out that this is going to be a referendum on Michael Bennett and Joe Biden. When we talk about the things that I'm talking about with the people in our community and around the state as I'm traveling is, are we really sicking the FBI on parents because they want to have a say in what's taking place in the school system and how they're being educated? Remember the last time we empowered the FBI, what took place? We don't want that. When we talk about a 25-year high in crime in Colorado, we talk about two people a day dying of fentanyl on average in Colorado. We talk about inflation doubling the projections at the beginning of the year. The dollar store is talking about changing its name to the $1.25 store. Work it out. And these are the issues that people are talking about today. Border security, inflation, foreign policy. Peter, we can never, ever, ever allow a situation like Afghanistan to occur again. We cannot leave Americans behind. It's inexcusable what transpired. And Peter, I'll say that Michael Bennett was on the Senate Intelligence Committee. He's privy to information that other senators are not privy to. He was at those meetings. All right. As you know, as that exit took place, he said everything went great and he's fully supported the president. Then the next 10 days, no one could find Michael Bennett to comment when it was turned into a complete disaster. And now he comes out and says, well, I'll be asking some hard questions. I would say this, Senator, you should have asked those hard questions when you were in those committee meetings prior to pulling out our military.
The deal was struck, and Qatar, people could say Qatar, the deal was struck to when the Americans would leave. It's just smart people knew that the Afghan army, well, some people believed the Afghan army would stand, others did not. But the inevitability, the end in Southeast Asia, the end in Afghanistan, it is American foreign policy, this goes back to Bush Cheney. It goes back to Lyndon Johnson. These are American foreign policy decisions. And in the end is in the end. It was going to happen. It was mishandled. But the inevitability, Gino, of that ending in Afghanistan was the day George Bush put the first guy on the ground in Afghanistan. It was going to end that way. And that's tragic. But it had that ending. I don't know what we do with that, except don't do it again. Afghanistan is just more of U.S. foreign policy craziness. And that's just the truth. There's a real tough question that
perhaps, but if I could just respond to that.
Of course.
Perhaps so. But, you know, how you execute is critically important. You have troops on the ground. You got intelligence on the ground feeding you information. And those military leaders came out the following weeks and said, we provided information with regard to leaving troops behind. So as the commander-in-chief and as the senator representing Colorado on that Senate Intelligence Committee, when you have that information, you have to react to that information, regardless of what deal was struck at what time or who occupied it at what time. And I would argue that you would never, ever, ever pull your troops out before you pull your people out, even if you are trying to exit.
Again, the United States
was a disaster.
Under Nixon, they got everybody out of Southeast Asia thinking that the Arvin Army would hold, and in the end, they were pushing helicopters off of aircraft carriers. The end was the end. The thing that Nixon caught.
Well, I would have rather seen that. I would have rather seen them pushing helicopters into the ocean or blowing them up than seeing a Black Hawk flying with their flag.
Yeah. Look, these guys aren't going to
do it. One of our helicopters flying.
These guys, they're not sophisticated. I mean, it's horrible. It's over. The forces in Afghanistan.
I don't believe it.
Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I don't believe it's over yet, and I believe that we're going to feel the repercussions of it, and we're seeing it, what we saw over the weekend. We're seeing training exercises taking place 100 miles off the coast of Taiwan
by
China now.
That's different.
They've gone beyond Well, it goes to our position in the world.
Well,
and our showing of strength and our ability in foreign affairs.
If you read Afghanistan, there's a civil war has begun. They're bombing mosques, and the inevitability of anybody leaving as the British left India or the British leave Ireland, there's a civil war coming. History teaches us that. There will be a civil war. They're not going to be expansionist. They're going to do what they do. The real issue, one of the things that, and I wrote our guest
clear
is.
Clear mission.
A clear mission
is very important going into it, as you know. And there was mission creep that took place here, and it takes place many times.
It was a lie. I mean, they told Bush, Cheney told lies, and the end is the end. It's Richard Nixon and Lyndon Johnson told lies, and the end is the end. And that's really the problem is, you know, if you get to the Senate, judging American foreign policy right now, we can't seem to get any computer chips. We can't get anything to stock the shelves. That's because the multinational corporations in this country, lining with the Republican Party, lining with the Democratic Party, took the means of production, my dad's job, took it to Europe.
You're absolutely right.
But better yet, it took it to Asia. It took it to China. And now the enemy of the Chinese was built up by American foreign policy and built up by multinational corporations. And now we sit here and we create a problem and then try and solve it. And it's...
You're absolutely right, Peter. And you know what? First of all, I will say that Michael Bennett's been our senator for 12 years. So he's going to be measured against what transpired over the last 12 years. Mm-hmm. As Coloradoans, acting as the board of directors, providing a job performance evaluation to Michael Bennett in the form of an election, are going to measure him against the last 12 years. And they're going to look at, and Afghanistan will be part of that. Yeah. And crime will be part of that. Yeah. And defunding the police will be part of that. And drugs and the border will all be part of that. So you're absolutely right. And, you know, as President Biden said, the buck stops with him. But when you vote 99%, 97% aligned with Bernie Sanders and 97%+ aligned with Joe Biden, those policy decisions are your policy decisions as well. You're aligning them, you're supporting them, and you're going to be measured against them. And I believe that the board of directors are going to say, thank you very much for your service. You're a very nice guy, but you're not cutting the mustard. You're not doing the job for Colorado. And I want to just say that you're absolutely right. What keeps the people I'm talking to, when I ask people who are running large corporations, when I say, what keeps you awake at night? The computer chips are a big issue. We do not have a significant manufacturing of computer chips, as you know, in the United States. The manufacturing of computer chips are taking place in Taiwan, Singapore, Vietnam, South Korea, and China. Mm-hmm. We've lost complete control, and you're right. It started happening in the 80s.
Before that.
Started happening in the 80s.
Before that.
We really saw a mass movement and plants being built there. But it's not just a function of let's build new plants back here in the United States. Bricks and sticks are easy. You know, scraping land and putting in utilities and putting in the bricks and sticks, that's easy. We're experts. We're excellent at that. We're excellent at designing chips. I'll tell you where we're going to have a shortfall, though, is that process of manufacturing the chips. We've lost the art by having that take place in these other countries. And now we're potentially losing control of our market in these other countries. You know, China doesn't have to have a war against the United States with military. They can have it with computer chips. They can have it with rare earth metals. They can have it with pharmaceuticals. We're vulnerable right now. And as a senator, I'm going to be talking about those things. I'm not just going to be talking about the shortfalls of Biden and Bennett. I'm going to be talking about solutions. I'm going to talk about a vision for the United States that goes beyond the news cycle, a vision that looks out to your point. This took place in the 70s with your father. We should be looking out right now saying what's going to take place with our children.
It already is.
Our guest is
Gino Campana. He's running to replace Michael Bennett, unseating U.S. Senator Michael Bennett. There is a $64,000 question. I wrote a column about it. The Joey Bunch question is, what are you going to do when people ask you, because there are werewolves, I wrote this, there's werewolves and vampires. And if you answer one way, the werewolves take you. If you answer the other way, the vampires take you. What are you going to do with the Donald Trump question? Did Donald Trump win? Was it stolen? What do you do with that?
I'm, I'm going to say this. There were tons of issues with the last election. There were tons of problems. Undisputed issues transpired in the last election, and we need to deal with those issues. We're Americans. The American dream is built on democracy. If we don't have a trust in our election system, we no longer have democracy. We no longer have the American dream. We have to rebuild that trust in America. The confidence in our election system is the lowest it's ever been. We have to address it.
But that's not the question.
It's not a black and white question.
Gino, of course it is.
But it's not a black and white question.
Of course it is.
There's a lot of gray between black and white. But look, unfortunately, Joe Biden's sitting in the White House right now. He's our president.
Gino,
okay?
You're going to have to answer the question. I'm sorry.
And I've just answered it. And I've just answered it.
Actually, you did not. So you're saying me, yes, it was, or no?
I just said that.
Don't Scalise me, because that's kind of. So do you believe?
Don't Nine News me, Peter.
I'm not Nine Newsing you, because if I don't ask you,
Gino, listen to me.
You got to answer it, because if you don't, the Democrats are going to ask you, or if not, you better tune up now. I'm trying to be like this coach. Here comes the question, and if you can't answer,
well, I appreciate that, Peter.
No, I'm not. Listen,
I can answer it, no problem.
All right, go ahead.
But my point is this. Joe Biden is our president right now. He won the election, okay? But it's not just – the conversation won't end there. The next election, we're going to have the same issues again. And the answer is not a blanket election system defined by the federal government that is one size fits all for everybody.
States.
That requires our – that taxes me and gives that tax dollars.
Listen, Gino, states control elections. The state of Colorado controlled its own election. You know that.
Currently, yes. But there's a proposal. There's a bill on the floor for this to change.
I understand all that, but that's not the question. The question is, you're going to have to ask, I mean, with respect, I didn't hear a yes, no, and you're saying there is no yes, no, and of course there is.
Yeah. I just said he won the election. I said Joe Biden won the election.
Fair and square.
And I said that there was a lot of, I'm coming back to the same comment, okay? And that is, there's undisputed facts out there that there were issues with the election. So the words matter here, Peter, and I think that's your point.
Did those issues impact the election? I'm chasing you down the hole because it's going to be asked.
Well, of course they impacted the election. Did they impact the election in Colorado to the point where former President Trump would have beat Biden? No. But of course they impacted. One vote impacts the election. And that's my point. Between black and white is great. You've got people that feel like when they say the election was stolen, okay, in their mind, there's people in the United States that believe one wrong vote means the election was stolen. Mm. You've got others in the United States on the other side of the stream say, you know what, we're going to have a certain percentage of these votes that are just incorrect, mistakes are made, and dead people voted. But it didn't impact the election, therefore it wasn't stolen. The point isn't was it stolen or wasn't stolen. The point is how do we bring people back to the table have a discussion about election integrity?
Well, nothing. I mean, Colorado. It doesn't sound like. So your job is to convince the great majority of Colorado voters who are unaffiliated. They're in the middle, and you're going to have to deal with things that you may or may not want to, but you have to win. And we got George coming up and other people have come up. This elections are won in the middle. And you have to appeal to the great middle voter in Colorado. This is a blue state. How do you turn the state at least purple? And that one takeable.
I could tell you, it doesn't matter what your political affiliation is. You should believe in the American dream. You're an American. I mean, tell me who's going to push back against the value proposition of living the American dream. So the American dream is going to resonate with unaffiliates. It's going to resonate with Democrats. It's going to resonate with Republicans.
Look, how do you
both
do it?
Parties. Yeah. How do I do it? I get out there and I tell the story of how I live the American dream. I get out there and I tell the story of what's impacting the American dream today. When you have the FBI arresting you at a school board meeting because you want to have impact on your child's education, you know, say on it. That's contrary to the American dream. I will call people out on that. Okay. On the other hand, the American dream is having a world-class education system. And you, as you see right now, most teachers are evaluating students who come back this year, and they're looking at their reading level and saying, oh my gosh, we're behind at least a year right now. Okay, we need to acknowledge that. We need to accept it. We need to come back with innovative ways of teaching children and bring them back up to what their grade level is supposed to be. We had a pandemic hit our country. That's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to be talking about the American dream with crime. How do we reduce crime in Colorado? I can tell you it's not by allowing people to walk into a convenience store and load up their arms with items and walk out the door and not have any prosecution of that. The American dream is having some personal security.
So now,
security of your business.
Between now and when, you know, like 1 year from now, it's on. I mean, it's full barn.
This is a full-time job for me, Peter.
All right. So.
Down to name recognition, he's been our senator for 12 years, 11 years. I don't believe he has as high a name recognition as everybody.
But remember this, and I try and teach this as a lesson. There was a guy who said not only he didn't want to be senator, but he would make a bad senator, running against a incumbent who had been there.
Yeah.
No, you listen.
Who's currently a senator. Yeah.
That's right. He said, I don't want to be, and I would make a bad one. And he beat a Republican in Colorado who had had the job. That's a huge lesson. And for you or for anybody else, and we collectively, my goal is to make Colorado purple. I had lunch yesterday with somebody you may know, Chuck Bonnewell, and Chuck in essence said it's a blue state. Other guys have said it's a blue state. I said, how do you make it purple? How do you bring it back? How do you make the stand? And that's what I think you have to deal with. You personally have to deal with this. How do you make the stand?
But the registered voter demographics say purple. Okay, the last election that you're in the election you're talking about with Cory Gardner, you're saying went, you know, blue, therefore people feel like it's a blue state. This is a purple. We are Coloradoans. We are independent thinkers.
Well,
we have our own Colorado values that are unique to the values of Connecticut, that are unique to the values of Washington, D.C. We have two senators, as you said, that neither one of them want to be there. Michael Bennett says it himself. He calls himself the most accidental senator that there is.
And he was.
He does not want this job. He wants to be an ambassador. He wants to be a president. He doesn't want to do this, okay?
Okay.
And he's voting aligned with Bernie Sanders, Vermont.
I mean, all those things aside. All those things aside. And I'll give you the final comment because Gino Campan is with us. All those things aside, the number one party in Colorado is unaffiliated. Number two by a long stretch over the Republicans are the Democrats. Now, you're a Republican.
No, that's not true. It's a 3 points. It's less than 3 points.
No, it isn't. It's the unaffiliated is the largest voting bloc in this state. The Republican Party was more diminished in January after what happened in D.C. They lost more participants. It doesn't mean they wouldn't vote for you. It just means they don't affiliate with being Republican anymore. You have an uphill fight. You really do. I'm serious.
Well, as far as registered data, there's less than a 3-point difference between Republicans and Democrats in the state of Colorado. And you're absolutely right. There's the lion's shares is unaffiliated.
That's my point.
I think that's because they're independent-minded. Mm-hmm. And I agree with that 1,000%.
That was my...
And we're going to resonate with the unaffiliated.
That's
we're going to resonate with the Republicans. Yep. And I believe we're going to resonate with the Democrats.
And that's my point of saying that by a stretch. And your job was to do something to that major percentage. And also, 70% of them don't believe anything about the election failures or the rest of it. I mean, it's a slug. You have a fight on your hands to do this.
It should be a fight.
No, sure it should be. And
it's a U.S. Senate scene. It should be a fight. And when you get there, you should be proud of the job. You should be wanting to get out of bed every morning and work your tail off for the people of Colorado.
I'll put you on hold.
We're not getting that now.
We'll put you on hold, and we'll get you right back. His last name is Campana, first name Gino. I grew up with guys named Gino. I'm going to put you on hold.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, we grew up with a lot of guys named Gino. All right, hang on. We'll get you back on. Hang on. George Antonopoulos is coming up. Then I'll read all these. Okay. Okay, he recovered only because you helped him. And I can understand why you're single. He just said he will lie for votes. It just goes on and on and on this morning. There's the wall finally lit up. Somebody once said, a smile is a curve that sets everything straight. If you aren't happy with your smile, the team at Twin Aspen Dental Center offers a variety of procedures that will have you smiling again in no time. Cosmetic dentistry is the catch-all phrase. Invisalign, porcelain veneers, bondings, crowns, teeth whitenings, whatever you want, some subtle changes or total makeovers. Doctors Richter and Snyder can help you achieve the perfect smile. You can smile with confidence. And look, if you're unsure about cosmetic dentistry, which procedure is right for you, take the first step towards a simple smile. Do it better. Twin Aspen Dental Center's brand new office located Stroh Road in front of the Lehman Academy in Parker. Visit TwinAspenDentalCenter.com. Just call them up. You don't like the dentist you have, or you moved to the city, you don't have a dentist, you haven't been to the dentist, you need a dentist, 303-841-7466. Richter and Snyder, man, it's a team. Perfect smiles. You can look great. Make an appointment. Even if it's a teeth cleaning. Get underway, 303-841-7466. Ask TwinAspenDentalCenter.com. Wednesday morning, everybody. October 13, sun's out. And tomorrow, rain, snow, and we'll get skiing underway, and all's well in the world. George is going to join us in a second. They came flying in the hate machine at work. Peter, Gino is not going to be asked if he thinks Trump won. Of course he will. You're the only one, yeah, except for Scalise the other day on Joey Bunch asked him. You're the only one literally obsessed with this. No, it isn't. It's a tired old topic. You're the most obnoxious person on the air. I stopped listening a while ago. But I wanted to hear Gino. Right. We announced Gino this. We didn't know we were going to have him on until this morning. But you are smug, arrogant, and think you know everything about everything. Puke. Back to listening to anyone but your dumb ass. Signed, your ex-wife. It's like, come on, Peter. All right. You send them. We'll read them if we can. Stack Optical. And then we'll go to George. First of all, they're open. Masks are optional. If you've been vaccinated, our good friend Alan Stack at Stack Optical. Providing the highest standards of, it wasn't my ex-wife, of customer service. But wow, do they have a great selection of eyeglasses. They work on appointments to make sure you call ahead before coming in. So if you want an appointment, you just want to walk in, boom, go to work and get it done. 303-321-1578, 303-321-1578. There are 2233 South Monaco Parkway near South Monaco and Evans. They're Stack Optical. Motorcycle glasses, prescription ski goggles that changed my skiing, sunglasses, name and claim it, readers, Stack Optical, Allen's prescription guys, sporting lenses, eyewear, it's all there. New Style's the best. He's my friend. And they have the eye exams on Saturday. You can set appointments for them. 2233 South Monaco Parkway, South Monaco and Evans. The man's there 6 days a week. Make an appointment. That's really the coolest thing to do. You call 303-321-1578. You want 11 o'clock. On Friday, that's what you do. If you want Saturday at 1 or something, 303-321-1578. 6 days a week, Alan Stack, Stack Optical, the man is there. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, he is my true favorite, and the Republican Party got rid of him, and he's back. George Antonopoulos, my boy. Good morning, man.
Hey, I'm back. Apparently, like your ex-wife. Man, she's being really critical.
I got some more of these. You want to hear them?
I mean, Pete, diving into your hate mail, I mean, come on, we could do that all day.
Here's one. I truly understand why you're single. I don't know. It's a significant question. And every Republican Party, and you and I know, I wrote a column about it, and they beat up poor Joey Bunch over it, but it is the question that somebody has to answer, because what's the great line? If I don't do it, somebody else will. And it comes down to Donald Trump, the voting, and all the stuff. I mean, somebody said it's a dead story. I got my computer screen on. There's five stories this morning about Donald Trump and what happened to Steve Scalise and all these different outcomes and his speech in Iowa where we said I got it stolen from me. When does this end, George?
Hopefully not anytime soon. And I'm going to take you down a different path than you've walked before. So voters generally uneasy. If you look at the polling data right now, voters are generally uneasy. They're dissatisfied with the Biden administration. They are seeing things that are not normal. You've seen inflation. You've seen the withdrawal from Afghanistan. What you are soon going to see is – first of all, supply chain disruptions. So be prepared to not be able to get the gift that your kids want for Christmas this year, unless you buy it now.
Yeah.
And then you're going to see the quantitative easing taper off, in theory, because the Fed seems to be hooked when it comes to, you know, the QE efforts. All of that being said, if Republicans want ever to fix the election laws, to make our elections more secure, this is when they have to push. And the reason I say that is voters, they may not respond to a specific issue unless it hurts very deeply. Like, the economy may hurt very deeply, but there is a general sense right now, and it's reflected in the polling data, that people are dissatisfied with Biden and the Democrats. Oh. They are not living
Agreed.
Up to the hopes
Agreed.
And dreams.
No, absolutely agree.
So if you want to make our elections more secure, and you and I have talked about this, like the chain of custody for mail-in ballots, the requirements for identification in order to vote, those types of things, now is the time. So I would go completely the opposite direction. I would be bringing up these issues right now, because if you're ever going to get them, it's going to be now.
George, you and I both know, you don't think the election in Colorado was stolen, do you?
No, but I think that there are things that we need to do to make our elections more secure.
Listen to me. Listen, look, this was a secure go-round, and the people who keep coming back to the big cry or the big lie, 70% of Coloradans want nothing to do with this. Why would it be? I mean, I watched Steve Scalise just make a fool of himself. He can't answer it. A Campagna was funny, told Billy off there, he enjoyed it, can't wait to come back on. So I have to respect all of that. We asked him what we needed to ask. But if you don't answer it, it's going to come right in your face by either the werewolves or the vampires. You know it, and I know it. And by the way, because everybody hates Joe Biden doesn't make the election stolen from Donald Trump. I agree with you. I didn't vote for Biden. Biden's doing a horrible job. But now here's this golden opportunity, and then it's yours, for the Republican Party to do well and watch them screw it up.
There is a golden opportunity. I hope to goodness we don't screw it up. But listen, just because I don't believe the election was stolen doesn't mean that there aren't meaningful reforms that we can enact. And if we say that our system of elections is not as secure as we would like it to be, and we propose X, Y, Z, that is a perfectly reasonable thing. That
then, you're saying it was taken, and it wasn't. And look, I think that's...
Who said anything about anything being taken?
Well, I mean, I want to go back to when I voted for the first time with my dad. There was one day we voted. Everybody voted on that first Tuesday. We lined up, we showed... No, I'm sorry, it's a heart attack.
Pete, what they did back in the colonies, that was 400 years ago, Pete. Why are we going back there?
No, but if you want a secure election, I can give you one right then. Boom, like that.
Okay.
I want that. I'm serious, it's a heart attack. If you said, Peter, what would you want? I'd like to go back. Voting on a Tuesday, I mean, all this idea will make it easier. No, it isn't. I mean, if you care that much, you'll show up and vote. And I want that. Like your dad voted, like you. I don't know if you ever went through that. I mean, Colorado's been on mail-in ballots for a long time. Back when Bill Owens won on a mail-in.
2013.
Yeah, the last great year.
So, but there are things we can do. So people talking about the integrity of the election process, I think, is an important discussion to have. Now,
the loser.
Don't get me wrong.
It's a loser.
I think we're about to be mollywopped by supply chain issues, and Lord knows if the Fed stops the quantitative easing, then we're in for a world of pain. But now is the time.
But we've been over this. This is George Anthesianopoulos, who I love. And, you know, this is the role of the multinationals when the multinational corporations that control American foreign policy, it's a broken record. They took means of production, my old man's job, my uncle's job, all went to Shanghai and Nanking and all these other places and started building steel mills. And they went to South Korea and they went to the PI and they did all this stuff. It's everybody's job. So they're building all these chips in Taiwan. They're building chips in the PRC. They're doing all this stuff. Multinationals did it because they're making tons of money. And then one day they said, screw you. And now what do? We're trying to solve a problem that the multinationals and U.S. foreign policy Nixon, the Bushes, all they created these problems, George. I mean,
they created these problems, and you know who brought them up and made them topics
Trump.
For mainstream discussion?
Donald Trump. Yeah. I agree with you. I mean, I didn't disagree with him. My problems are what happened after the end, but he was doing all the right things.
He was, and there is going to be a major push in those same multinationals to start securing their supply chain.
Nonsense. They got it made.
Excuse me, supply chain. To start nearshoring.
What do you think? You think they're just selling phones in the U.S.? Or you think they're selling phones in Paris? You think they're selling phones in Moscow? Or you think they're just selling phones in Denver?
What? You think the supply chain going the other way is just going unimpeded?
No.
You remember that debacle with the Suez Canal, right?
Of course.
I mean, come on.
Of course. But why was it the British to own the canal? I mean, the same question gets asked again. Nasser's right. It's our canal. You know, it's not your canal. It's our canal. That's what Suez was about. 1957.
The Suez, yeah,
the
I know.
Yeah,
but,
it was our canal.
But instead of having things built in East Asia, outsourcing all of our manufacturing, I think a lot of companies now are starting to look, okay, maybe it costs too much to make cell phones in France. However, you know, our humble parish priest, I bet you we can find lots of people in Lebanon to make cell phones.
They can't turn the lights on. I mean,
okay, fair enough. If they had power, they could make cell phones. Yeah. But the point is, you could nearshore your supply chain, at least shorten it.
Of course.
And we could do a lot here with Central and South America in terms of manufacturing, not Venezuela, but, you know, other countries. And we could do a lot there. But circling back to, I'm gonna do my Jen Psaki imitation,
okay,
which
right.
is let's circle back to election
all
integrity.
Right.
All the things, this cloud that hangs over Biden, his administration, and all Democrats right now, now is the time to push, because people will reflexively see all of the things going wrong. And if we add election integrity to that reflexively, they'll be like, okay, yeah, they're probably screwing that up too.
I think that's tying a can to the dog's tail. I think you take these people on for what they've done. I think Michael Bennett, and I'm going to have to take a break and bring you back to wrap it, but Michael Bennett is the most takeable, unseating Michael Bennett. And there seems to be some pretty good young guys out here that want to do it. Will they screw it up is the question. And will they go at each other? Will they have to deal with this insanity of integrity? And Donald Trump lost Colorado by 14 points. George, and these guys, we need a Donald Trump character. No, you don't. But you also have to offer somebody safe schools and all the stuff, the junkies, the homelessness, you know, the unsafe schools, the price of fuel, what's happening with developers, what's happening to highways. That's the stuff that you go in and win on. But if you can't clear the first hurdle, you're going to get knocked out in the first round, and it's going to happen.
Oh, my gosh. Let's go to break so I can tell you how he could be beaten, which is nearly impossible.
You're the man. Yeah. Hang on. This is one of my true favorite people. Also, coming up, Beaton's on a radio show. If you're thinking about selling your home, all right, listen to this. I know you have lots of questions, and there's tons of questions out there when you want to buy or want to sell. And usually one comes before the other. Gay and Sarah with the Ribble Group, Keller Williams Realty, DTC, have all of your answers. She's a terrific woman. There's no accident. Gay and Sarah sell 2 times faster and for more money than compared to other agents on average. Gay and Sarah understand how every home is different. Every home seller is different. Here's Kristen and Steve's testimonial. Wow, what an amazing experience I'm having talking world-class service, attentive team, people who have always bring their A game and are crazy good at communicating. This is what the Ribble Group does above all. And we're beyond thrilled that they made the switch to Gay and Sarah and their team of go-getters. Legit, you guys. That's why I say Gay and Sarah, we've met. She did the radio show, sat in the studio. An amazing life story. They are the best. Please call. They'll help you find the best program that works for you. The Ribble Group, R-I-B-B-L-E. The Ribble Group at 833-301-SOLD. That's 833-301-SOLD. And Gay is spelled G-Y-E, G-Y-E. They have the buyersgroup.com. Here's the web. Gay has the buyers.com. How cool is that? Gay has the buyers.com. Gay has the buyers.com. 7:47, 13 before the hour of 8 o'clock. Glenn Beaton on the other side. George is on hold. And my guy is Gabe from Alpine. My boy, what's going on in numbers? Good morning.
Good morning, Pete. I'll keep it short for the guests, but I got to say, you see that snow up there in the mountains this weekend?
Yes, I did.
Market's starting relatively flat, actually. The Dow is currently down 38, NASDAQ's up 88, and the S&P is up 4. We're starting off earnings season for Q3 with some notable names this morning. Pete, J.P. Morgan reported, beat expectations, as well as Delta Airlines and BlackRock. So all coming in good for the third quarter. But I think what's going to be important and interesting for investors here as earnings season goes along is not only quarter three results, but also forecasts and expectations going into the new year. Take Delta as an example. Their revenue is up on, increased demand for travel, but they know that they're going to get squeezed in the fourth quarter because what's going on with the oil markets. So everything is interconnected. If you have some listeners that need a partner to kind of wade through everything in the financial world with their plan, their portfolio, have them give Alpine Planning Group a call. We'd love to sit down with them.
They are the best. 303-843-0918. I trust them. Investing is a matter of trust. They will earn yours. This is a really good young guy. 303-843-0918. 843-0918. The man is there. Gabe will do it again tomorrow, man. Thank you.
Do your snow dance, Pete.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC and registered investment advisor. Alpine Planning Group and Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. are not affiliated entities. 14 West Dry Creek Circle, Littleton, Colorado, 80120.
One of the smartest guys I know, and I love him to death, George Anthesinopoulos, is with us, shunned by the Republican Party, turned away at the gate. He's brilliant, and he's a dear friend. We're talking about how does Colorado become purple. I had lunch yesterday with Bonnewell. We talked for 2 hours about, the state is a blue state. If the war aim is to make it purple, how can it be done? George, it's yours.
We have to pay attention to election mechanics. That is how the Democrats beat us. They passed House Bill 1303, again, in 2013, which mandated the mail ballot elections, same-day registration, all of the things that benefit them, because we're not smart enough to take advantage of these systems. So you want to ask me how we win, how we beat somebody like Michael Bennett, who is eminently beatable.
I agree.
It's you have to start opening field offices end of this year. I know that the election, the midterms, they're 11 months away at that point. You have to open field offices. You have to start hiring field staff to go out and knock on doors, to ID voters, to figure out what's important to them. Because if you find the one or two issues that matter to them and you find out on their doorstep, then you can start messaging to those issues. You build a relationship over the course of a year, and then when ballots get mailed out 3 weeks ahead of time, you go out and you harvest ballots. There is no chain of custody requirement in the state of Colorado. Mm-hmm. This is how they beat us. So if you tell me that by the end of the first quarter next year that we don't have any field offices open, I will tell you, in March, we've already lost.
George, you and I and Mike have beaten this into the ground. Mike McAlpin, who we both love dearly, and Kurt, you got to get a candidate. You have to have somebody that sets, as Bonnewell and I were leaving the restaurant, that sets the grassroots on fire. And it sure as hell wasn't Corey. It sure as hell wasn't Walker. It sure as hell wasn't in these other guys. Everything you say is true, but first of all, you got to ignite the unaffiliated voter. Who is that man or who is that woman? George, your turn.
Listen, Eric, who is running for U.S. Senate, Heidi, who's running for governor, listen, we have criticisms of Walker and Corey and Lord knows other candidates that have been put up by the Republican Party. But if you look at it, look at who the Democrats have elected. You think Jenna Griswold just lights the left on fire?
She won.
No,
she was down the ticket. But she was a Trump lost ticket. In other words, Donald Trump
was a Jared Polis.
I agree with you, but
rider.
But who was on the top?
On the Democrats, it was
Jared Polis. On the ballot, George, was Donald Trump. and Donald Trump got lost
by... Not in 2018.
No, but...
He wasn't on the ballot.
But I know, but I'm saying, how did they do it? And you go back and look and say, okay, Polis is there. Who was he opposed? Who was the opposition? Walker Stapleton. Same thing.
Yes, but the thing is, the Democrats can elect just anybody.
I agree.
Because they have a machine. We don't have a machine. We rely on the strength of the candidate. They rely on the strength of the machine. And unless we recognize that fundamental truth, which is they can elect a cadaver.
I agree.
If, you know.
No, I don't disagree
with... the machine is working well.
I don't disagree with anything.
In 2022, you've got Jared Polis. Last time he donated approximately $23 million to his own campaign.
Yes.
He ran such a good campaign
that
he drug other candidates who were not worthy of victory across the finish line just based on his coattails. He'll do the same thing again in 2022 unless we wake up to the fact that, you know, the candidates, they're important.
But that's my point. But, again, when I went to what happened to Corey, according to other people that I respect, is Corey was he caught shrapnel from Donald Trump. I don't know if I believe that because I thought it was a lousy campaign and a lousy candidate. But we get down. We're agreeing on the same things. How do you win is the most important. Real
caught
quick.
Caught some shrapnel, fine. But if he had taken it head on, you know, he would have done better. He was absolutely obliterated. And you can ask Tank. We were in the back of the room.
I know.
I stood up, asked him the question to his face.
I got to put you on hold.
He gave me an answer that was so...
I know. I love you. Hang on. We're back with Glenn Beaton. Stay here.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.